Open it to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. A few weeks ago, you might recall that I mentioned that from time to time, I need to hear a feel-good sermon, one of those uplifting messages, and I need a spiritual and an emotional boost to keep me going when life seems to get difficult. It's therapeutic. It's refreshing to be encouraged, to remember the joy of the Lord and the goodness of God. And there are scientific studies that have even shown that people of faith tend to have a better outlook on life. They are happier. They're more at peace with themselves and the world around them. And when you're seemingly surrounded by a negativity or grumbling or problems or drama, it's really healthy to take a step back every now and then and remember it's not all bad. There are some beautiful things in this world. The Presbyterian minister and author Frederick Buechner once wrote, "Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen." Here is the world. Beautiful and terrible things will happen. Buechner recently passed away on August 15th of this year, 92 years old, and yet he had the opportunity to write another book before his passing entitled The Remarkable Ordinary, How to Stop, Look, and Listen to Life. And in that work, he encourages his readers to look for the greatness of God in the ordinary things in our lives, to look for beauty and goodness, even in the midst of our stressful days. I'll give you just one example. I had the opportunity to spend some time with my granddaughter Mia this week, and one morning we took a walk together and enjoyed that cool, brisk air and the beautiful fall colors, and we even took some time for a little photo shoot and with the decorations out in front of our yard and all of the hay bales and pumpkins and just those beautiful fall colors, the mums and the scarecrows. And I really watched as she explored with delight the beauty of God's creation. She had to touch everything and smell everything and pick everything up and just filled with such joy. And then I realized that I don't often see the world that way. You see, she had an opportunity to, through the eyes of a child, to see God's beauty, to see the world as this amazing playground of wonder. And I, on the other hand, often see it as a trash heap, a wasteland of stress and burdens and evil. Here is the world filled with beautiful and terrible things. And sadly, we often only see the latter without seeing the former. I'll share with you another example. On Wednesday night, I had an opportunity to be with our teenagers, and amazingly, there was about 100 students and adults that joined us for a meal over there on Wednesday night, and so I'm praising God for that. But I walked up in the middle of a conversation some teenagers were having, and one of the young men, he described someone else as evil. And somebody else in the group said, "You shouldn't call people evil." And then they all turned to me, and they said, "Brother Sams, is it wrong to call someone evil?" And I had to say, in all honesty, there are some people who truly are evil. And unfortunately, that's how we see the entire world. We see everybody through that lens as evil. We hear all of the headlines filled with stories of violence and corruption. And like the prophet Habakkuk, we cry out to God, "How long, Lord? How long must I cry for help, but you do not listen? Or cry out to you, violence, but you do not save?" Why do you make me look at injustice, he says. Why do you tolerate wrongdoing? Destruction and violence are before me. There is strife and conflict abounds. Therefore, the law is paralyzed. Justice never prevails. The wicked hem in the righteous so that justice is perverted. Now, I don't know about you, but that seems like an apt description of the society in which we live in today. We live in this fallen and corrupt world, and yet, and I would stress this is extremely important for you to remember, the world that we live in, which is often plagued by evil, it is not beyond redemption. There is hope, and that hope is Jesus Christ. In Ecclesiastes chapter 3, the wise teacher, he is describing the world in which we live, and he's just finished this lyrical poem contrasting the extremes of life. In verses 1 through 4, he says there's a time to be born and a time to die, a time for war, a time for peace, a time to tear down and a time to build up, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance. And he's showing us these polar opposites of life, the beautiful and the terrible. He says there's going to be joyous births and there's going to be sorrowful deaths. He says there's going to be times of peace and then there is going to be times of violence. There's going to be times of people advancing and other people being torn down. We see people living it up and others are trying to pick up the pieces. Some people are laughing and dancing while others are crying and mourning. In verse 11, this wise scholar, he writes, God has made everything beautiful in its time. He has also set eternity in the human heart, yet no one can fathom what God has done from beginning to the end. God has made everything beautiful when? In its own time. You see, it's true. We often don't understand why God allows evil and terrible things to happen. We cannot fathom the goodness of God because all we see is the overwhelming evil around us. And yet, God can make it beautiful in his time. God can take the ugliness of our world and he can transform it into something beautiful. He can take the tragic and he can turn it into something good. God can take sinners and turn them into saints. He can take victims and make them victors. So this morning, I would really like for us to focus our attention upon the terrible and the beautiful, or to describe it another way, let's consider the seriousness of sin and the greatness of grace. To do that, we need to turn to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5. It is true, evil abounds, but grace abounds even more. We need to acknowledge the gravity of our rebellion against God to truly appreciate the immensity of his mercy. Let me give you just a little illustration to visualize this for you. It seems like that I have this knack for any time that I go out to eat that I'm inevitably going to get something on my shirt. And now I've even started, Sean's just got these little Tide wipes that she keeps so that I can try to clean off that little spot on my shirt. Now, I don't know about you, but there are a few shirts that I consider my favorites. I really like them. And maybe you have a favorite outfit. Sue, you know what shirt it is. It's a lovely shirt. Yes, it is. And I usually, I feel like that I can get most of that little spot out so that it's not noticeable to anybody else. And so I'll keep wearing it because it's just barely noticeable. And a lot of times that's how we view our sin. Oh, it's just barely noticeable. And so we just continue on. But what if that favorite shirt became completely soiled? I mean, it was just one giant stain. Then we would have to say, it's ruined. Discard it, throw it away. But what if someone could take that favorite shirt that was soiled and ruined and make it look brand new again? Completely clean. That's what God has done for us. You see, your sin, it's not just some little spot that can be easily covered up or that's barely noticeable. You are soiled by sin. And yet, we have a Savior, because of his death on the cross, that has completely washed away our sins and made us new again. We need to recognize the seriousness of our sin. Those things that we do that are opposed to God, they're not just small, indiscriminate things. All of these evil things, the conflict, the violence, the depravity, the ugliness of our world, it all has one source. And that source is sin. Sometimes it's our sin, sometimes it's the sin of other people. I would even tell you that you need to recognize that all sin is really a disobedience to God. It is rebellion against God. Even those little white lies that we tell, they're not that little. The gossip, the critical spirit, the crude language, those times when we get angry, the lustful thoughts, the greed, jealousy, envy, the failure to be kind, the refusal to show love, the prideful spirit, the cold shoulder, every corruptive desire, every malicious word, every rebellious act, all of those things are offensive to God, and we should take offending God seriously. You see, there are serious consequences to even the smallest sin. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 1, it says, when Adam sinned, sin entered the entire human race. His sin spread death throughout all the world. So everything began to grow old and die, for all sinned. Romans chapter 5, it claims that the curse of death came upon all mankind because Adam and Eve broke one command, just one. They didn't kill anyone, although that would come later. They just ate something that was forbidden. I mean, let's really think about it. Today we would say, well, that's no big deal. They didn't really do anything that wrong. And yet it was rebellion against God. All of the pain, all of the anguish, all of the things that are going on, the sorrow that you experience, it's the result of that sin. There are some people who try to make light of their sin. They laugh it off. They make excuses. They claim it's no big deal, and yet the consequences of our sin is ultimately death. And not just physical death, but spiritual death. According to Isaiah, our sin separates us from God. The Bible says you can sin in your mind, you can sin in your attitude, you can sin with your words, you can sin with your actions. There are times when we do that knowingly, and there are times when we do it unconsciously. We sin when we do those things we know we shouldn't do, but we also sin when we don't do those things we know we should do. Jesus said, sin is so serious. If your right eye causes you to sin, take it out and throw it away. It's better to lose one part of your body than to have your whole body thrown into hell. He said, if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. Throw it away. It's better to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to go into hell. We don't take sin that seriously, do we? We fail to acknowledge that sin is the enemy of our heart, our minds, our body, and our spirit. It just separates us from God presently, but it has a potential to separate us from Him eternally. Those are some serious consequences. And yet, I'm going to tell you that you can be grateful in your heart today, because where the consequences of sin are great, God's grace is even greater. According to Romans chapter 5, verse 20, and this is from the Living Bible translation, it says, "The more we see our sinfulness, the more we see God's abounding grace forgiving us." So yes, we must acknowledge the seriousness of our sin, but we're blessed by the greatness of God's grace. Perhaps we should consider today why Jesus died on the cross. Was it not because of the seriousness of our sin? The hymn says, "Marvelous grace of our loving Lord, grace that exceeds our sin and our guilt. Yonder on Calvary's mount outpoured, there where the blood of the Lamb was spilled. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that will pardon and cleanse within. Grace, grace, God's grace. Grace that is greater than all our sin." Romans 5:15, it says, "The gift is not like the trespass. For if the many died by the trespass of the one man, how much more did God's grace and the gift that came by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, overflow to the many?" I want you to finally turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 11 this morning. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. In just a few moments, we are going to be taking the Lord's Supper together. And I want you to consider the seriousness of your sin. It is so easy for us to deflect our guilt, to point the finger at other people. But I want to encourage you today, take a moment to reflect upon the seriousness of your own sin. It would be very easy for me today to describe all of the heinous acts that we think are so terrible, all of the violence, all of the perversions, all of those things that we call evil. But I'm asking you to search your heart. See if there's anything offensive to God within you. Have you been fully obedient to Him in all ways and at all times? How serious is your sin? And then after contemplating that, then turn your attention to the cross and the grace of Jesus Christ that was poured out for us. You should be able to see the terrible and the beautiful, the guilt of your sin and the grace of God that covers those sins. Our hearts should be filled with gratitude. So I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet, please. First Corinthians chapter 11. Beginning in verse 23. "For I received from the Lord what I also passed on to you. The Lord Jesus, on the night He was betrayed, took bread. And when He had given thanks, He broke it and said, 'This is My body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.' In the same way, after supper, He took the cup, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in My blood. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of Me.' So whenever you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until He comes. Therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and blood of the Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup. For anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. Would you bow your head with me, please? Gracious God, I ask that you convict each person here today. Lord, that you help them to see those things in their life that would be displeasing to you. Lord, we confess these sins to you now. And we pray for your mercy and your grace. In Jesus' name, amen. You have an opportunity to continue those prayers here at the altar today. If you don't know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then I encourage you to pray a prayer of faith and confession and ask him to come into your heart and forgive you of your sins. Tell him you want to be in heaven with him someday. If there is a burden on your heart, then this is an opportunity for you to take that to the Lord. So whether you come here to this altar or you do so in your seat, use this as a time of reflection and worship today.